in his own image. And when we look back at Genesis, the first chapter in verse 26, we find that is that God said, let us make man in our own image according to our own likeness. And so if we were like God and we were perfect, there would be no reason for him to test our hearts. But we're not. God has given us free will to do the things which we need to do and to do the things that we want to do. And they may not always be pleasing to him, but we do have a heart just like God has a heart. So why does God test us? I want you to look and think about these three things, and it may not be all of them. You may come up with some other things, but he tests us to build our faith in him. And that's what he was trying to do with the Israelites when he was leading them through the wilderness, is that he wanted them to have faith in him. And so he did. He tested them to build their faith in him, just like he tests us to build our faith in him. And he tests us to prove our love for him. John says we love him because he first loved us. And so when you think about it, God wants to know, do we really love him? And he will do all that he can for us. God gave his only begotten son because he loved the world so much. But he tests us to prove our love towards him. Are we the kind of children that love our Father in heaven? And then the third one that would come up is he tests us to increase our spiritual endurance to inherit our heavenly reward. And so that's one of the tests that we have, is it's really to help us to endure, because we are running a race, and it's not a short sprint. It's an endurance race. And God is trying to test us, to help us, to strengthen us. And when you think about athletes, athletes exercise, they condition themselves because of what? They don't want to give out in the first 5 yards of their race or first 10 meters. You know, they want to have that endurance. You think about baseball players, football players, soccer players. You think of all these kinds of athletes. They are there strengthening their endurance because they know that it takes a long time to get to the finish line. And so when I go back to this, I want us to think about Deuteronomy, what God said to them when they were coming out. This is Moses writing to them. And so when he comes through and he's going through the, they come out of the wilderness, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 1, beginning, he says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. And remember why things are written? The things that were written before were written for our learning. And so the things that we can read and learn from the Old Testament, we need to make sure that we're placing these same exact teachings and the understandings in our lives, that we learn the lessons that they failed. God doesn't want us to fail. He wants us to pass. And so he says, you must be careful to observe, that you may live long, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to you. And he goes on, he says, and you shall remember. You got to remember, and we need to remember, is that the Lord your God led you all these 40 years in the wilderness. And why did he do it? Why 40 years? He says, it was to humble you and to test you. So God had two reasons right there why he led them for 40 years through the wilderness was to humble them and to test them, to know what was in your hearts. And that's what we talked about before, is that God tests the hearts, and that's what he was doing with them. He wants to know what was in their hearts, just like he wants to know what is in our hearts, and whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so that was one of the reasons why he took them there. And then he goes on and he said, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing. Sometimes we think about manna and we thought it was like bread from heaven, but what was the reason why God gave them manna? He says, he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so the manna came from heaven. That's what was going to sustain their lives. But it was every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's what God wanted them to learn and wanted them to remember. So no one likes to be tested. And all of us, some of us have children in here, our grandchildren. You ask them if they like to be tested at school, and what's their response going to be? No. And you and I may go through tests in our life. We may have our first driving test. Remember when you had to go get your driver's license? Were you nervous about that? You wanted to pass the first time around, right? So none of us like to take tests. But we're going to look at the things that God tests. I came up with three other examples here. You know, when you look at it, God's tests come at unexpected moments in our lives. It's not like we know what's happening. Have you ever stepped into your class and all of a sudden the teacher says, oh, guess what? Surprise test, test quiz. And so, but God sometimes tests us at unexpected moments in our lives. I want you to think about Noah. Genesis, the sixth chapter, in verses 1 and then going on to 13 and 14, he says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And so that kind of gives us an indication of what kind of person that he was. He was a man full of faith, right? And then in verse 13, he says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he makes this statement. Make yourself an ark out of gopher wood. And then he goes on to give him the plans and how he wanted to build and what he was supposed to be. How many floors were in it, what it was supposed to be, how it was supposed to be, the length and the width and the height. And so he gave him all the dimensions. So when you think about it, Noah, when he went on, when he started to build this, do you think that he was ridiculed? When you think about Noah's faith, is that sometimes faith will make you look foolish. Sometimes our faith in God will make us look foolish to the world. And I'm sure that Noah, I keep wanting to go to Moses, don't know why, but Noah probably looked foolish to those around him as he continued to build this ark. And so, all those years, and they say estimated anywhere between 75 to 100 years. Now, no one can really come up with a definite time frame that it took Noah to build the ark. But it's probably right around 75 years. So you think about all the ridicule that he went through this time, he and his sons, as they built and worked on this ark. And you think about the things that made it look really foolish to those around about him. But guess what? If you looked at Noah's diary, it probably ended like this. Looked foolish until it starts to rain. And then his faith began to shine. And he and his wife and his sons and their daughters were the only ones that were saved. So sometimes that's our life, is that sometimes our faith, as it's being tested, may look foolish to those around about us. And it does until it rains, and we will all run into storms. May not hit you today, but it may hit you later. And God tests will provide new challenges for us to overcome. And sometimes that's when we talked about before, is like sometimes when athletes are tested, sometimes they challenge themselves, you know, that they may overcome these barriers that they need to overcome. And it's the same thing that you and I may meet challenges in our life, maybe at our work, maybe at school, whatever the case may be. But those challenges are coming, and it should make us better people be able to overcome them. But God's test will provide new challenges for us to overcome. I want you to think about Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 22. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. Now here's the word that we've been talking about this morning, is that God tested Abraham. He says, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said to him, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Abraham's only son. He says, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. How would you like to have that test? To tell God, tell you to go and offer your son And remember, as he was preparing the sacrifice, remember what Isaac said to him? Here's the fire. Here's the altar. But where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? You remember what Abraham told him? God will provide. And so Abraham was tested. And so we find that here is that was the test that God put him through. Is he faithful or not? Is he going to do what I said? He didn't argue with God. It's amazing to me. He didn't try to say, wait a minute, can we find something else to do here? But he went through and he passed this test. And think about God tests will reveal what we value most in our lives. And that's, I think this is one of the hardest tests that we come in across sometimes, is what's most important to us. And sometimes it may be your children, your mom and dad, your family. But Jesus Christ better be the most important thing in our lives. Remember what Jesus said, that if you love fathers, mothers, sister, brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. So God's test will reveal what we value most in our lives, whether it's cars, homes, boats, whatever the case may be. But those tests will reveal what's valuable to us. Think about Stephen in Acts, the 7th chapter. And he says that, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And that's what happened. Remember the sermon that he preached to them? And they gnashed at him, and they came to him, and it was just like they did not want to hear the words that he was saying. But he says, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now what's interesting to me is when you think back and just look at the words at the bottom of the screen, it says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. What did Jesus say to his father? It was done. And what else did he say to his father? Don't charge them with this sin. And so here's an attitude that Stephen had. He followed Jesus, and you can tell that he walked with him and how close he was. And when it came to this test on whether or not he was going to give up and throw up his hands and say, this is too much for me, God, I can't take this, you found out really in these verses what was valued by him in his life the most, and that was following after God. And so as we could look at this, you can just imagine them taking him and throwing him down and then beginning to stone him. And so the things that we find in Stephen is we find out what he valued most in his life, and that was serving his father and his Lord. And what about the test Job endured? Now, I'm going to plug Mike's lesson in on Wednesday. We're studying on Wednesday the book of Job. And it's interesting that when you go through here and you just read through and you look at the things that Job said and his friends said to him, you just really get a lot of insight into how they viewed things. But I think about these things. How would you like to go through this test? In Job chapter 1, verse 8, remember when Satan was roaming to and fro in the earth? And remember what the Lord said, and he said, and the Lord said to them, have you considered my servant Job? Job doesn't know any of this stuff is going on. But he says, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Job was getting ready to go through a test, one that he didn't even expect, and one he didn't have any idea why he was being tested as he was. And in Job, the second chapter, the second time Satan comes around, and this is after Job has been taken, everything, his possessions have been taken, his children have been taken from him. And so next thing you know, here comes Satan again. And then the Lord said to him again, he says, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Have you considered him? And he still holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. And so when we look at this, Job's getting ready to go through another test. Remember what Satan says? Oh, yeah, you just let me touch his skin, and he'll curse you, and he'll deny you. But he didn't, right? But guess what? Then Job's wife speaks up, and she's kind of had all she can take. And in verse 9 and 10, he says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Now just think about what God just said to Satan, that he holds fast his integrity. And his wife is saying, look, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Just give up. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. And so up to that point in time, when you look at it, these were tests that were going on. And when we find that Job's, his heart, where his heart is that shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? When you look at what James, the fifth chapter, in verse 11, James going back and referring to Job, when he says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. The test that he was putting Job through, he says, but you saw the end intended by the Lord. And sometimes I think about it, and I mentioned this to somebody the other day, as I said, if any of us in here were put to that same test that Job was, how many of us would have thrown up our hands and give up and say, I can't take it? But Job did. Job passed the test. But we see that the Lord in the end is very compassionate and merciful, and that's what he was and how he was with Job. So I want to ask you this question. Have you ever thought about Satan striking Job with boils and the impact that COVID has on us today? You might think it's kind of weird, and it didn't until I was going through preparing this lesson. I thought, being touched with boils by Satan and COVID, it's still different, yes, but similar in the way they both affect the flesh. And some are letting COVID affect their service and worship to God. And I think that when I look at it, if you've ever remembered just one thing in our lifetimes that have impacted people and how they react and where they go and where they won't go, and just think how many of our brothers and sisters still won't come to worship services because they're afraid of COVID. Is that their test? Is that our test? But it is affecting the service and the worship to God by some. But I want you to think about the things that we just think about just COVID and what we're talking about right now. But look at what the writer, the Hebrew writer, said in verse 35 to 38. And just think about these individuals, what they went through. When he says, others were tortured. They had trials of mockings and scourgings, of chains and imprisonment, stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. And this, to me, is one of the most powerful things. And when I read this, sometimes it makes me shudder when he says, of whom the world was not worthy. Remember what we talked about? Sometimes our faith makes us look foolish. Think about these and the things that they went through and the things that they endured, even to the point of losing their lives. And the Hebrew writer says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. I don't know many of us in here that live in the mountains and live in caves. But these people went through a lot. in order to serve their God. So when you think about it, don't pray for an easy life. Have you or your children ever said, it's not fair? I remember sometimes my daughters would say, Dad, it's not fair. And most of us who have children or had parents, the response was probably, life's not fair. And I think this right here, this quote, is that it's a great one, is that do not pray for an easy life, because it's not going to be easy. We're always going to run into hardships. But we need to pray for the strength to endure a difficult one. We need to pray to be able to get through those tests. We need to remain faithful and be able to pray that we can endure and remain faithful to God in all the things that we do. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the heart. I test the mind. And there goes that word testing. We're tested all the time. What do we think? How do we think? How do we react to things? And he says, and he goes on, he says, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And that's what it's all about, is that we need to have the right heart and we need to have the right mindset towards God and what his word teaches us and what we should be doing. And so this, remember 5:2:1? Remember 5:2:1? Maria will, because I told her on the way here. But 5:2:1, if you remember, when we go back and think about Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus was telling them a story. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. And so what do we know about this master's insight into these servants that he has? He gave each according to his own ability. And that's what God does for us. He knows what we're able of doing, but we need to make sure that we do it. And I always think back when I look at this, I said, and to one he gave 5 talents. Now I want you to think about this, because you know what's going to happen. The one that he gave 5 talents, when he came back, what did the 5-talent servant give him? 10, right? The 2-talent servant, when he came back, what did he return to his master? 4. He doubled what he gave. But we're getting ready to talk about the 1-talent man. And when he came back, what did he return? 1 talent. And I thought about this, is that this shows you the insight that this master had over his... Because what would have happened had he given the talents that he gave 1 to, had he given him 5? And the one that he gave 5 talents to, he would have given him 1. I'm sure that the 5-talent man, if he was given 1 talent, he would have given him 2 back. But the sad part about it is if he would have given 5 talents to the one to whom he gave 1 talent, what do you think that the master would have received back? 5 talents, the same thing. So he knew, he says, each according to his own ability. He knew what their abilities were. And so Jesus goes on after he talks about those and what they returned to. He says, then he came to the one who had received the 1 talent and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground, and look, you have what's yours. You gave me 1, you got it back. I didn't lose it. But look at what he said. He says, I knew you were a hard man. And I think that sometimes the world has just kind of made us think that God is just this, you know, huggy God that just doesn't really care about us. But God expects a lot from us. The master, the servant said to the master, I knew you were a hard man. And I was afraid. And sometimes we're afraid. But we need to get past that. And then he says, look, here's what's yours. But the Lord, his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. You should have done something with it. You should have done something with it, but you did nothing with it. So take the talent from him, the one man talent, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to learn this lesson. I need to learn this lesson. What's important to me? I do not want to be considered an unprofitable servant when the Lord comes again. So our stewardship of what God has blessed us with is our test of faith towards him. What are we doing with the things that God's blessed us with? Are we hoarding them to ourselves? Are we using them to bless others that they may be able to see God through us? James 1, verses 2 through 5, it says that count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. What was that, James? He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But it's interesting how James goes on. He doesn't just leave it there. It's like, well, if you can't do it, just tough luck. But he says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God for wisdom to help us get through the test that we face, that we may increase our faith. And remember this, is that opportunity may knock only once, but temptation leans on the doorbell. It's always there. Temptation's always going to be there. But our opportunity to do good may only happen to us once, and we need to make sure that we take that opportunity to do those things which we should. In Galatians 6, chapter and verse 9, he says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. And that's what happens, is that sometimes people just get weary and they give up. But God doesn't need a people to give up. We don't need to be people that just drop down and just, I can't take it anymore. Pray for wisdom on how to get up and how to keep going and get through that test that God's given us. There's the quote that some of us who are older, some of you haven't reached that age yet, but you can say that. But there are others, and I know that there are some in here that we've talked about, is that growing old is not for the weak. And so as we get older, there are things that we face in life that young people usually don't, if they're in good health. But those of us who are older, things don't heal as quickly. Things get sore faster. You know, our vision goes away, our hearing goes away. There's a lot of things that happen. But growing old is not for the weak. But how many people have you seen grow old and just give up? They just give up. And so I thought about this and I said, look, there is no place in the body of Christ for the faithless. There's no place in the church for faithless people. Those who give up at every challenge or under every test they face every day. There's no place for people that give up. So when we feel like giving up, we just remember the fearful servant that hid his master's talent in the ground. Just think back about him. What was he considered? He was considered an unprofitable servant. Did God give him a nice little place to stay? No. He said, cast him in the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So think about these things. Think about every day when all of a sudden something happens to you, you're going like, I can't take it. Well, you can. I can. Just ask God. And we need to remember that we as Christians, is what the world considers a religion. It's not a religion to us. It's a relationship. It's a relationship that we have with our Father. And it's a way of life. A way of life that a lot of people choose not to take. But we need to make sure that we are living the life that we need to. And when those tests are presented to us, that we pass them with flying colors. There may be those here this morning that maybe you started out in your walk, but sometimes you just have given up. You failed. You've gone back into the world. Your life isn't what God wants it to be, but God wants it to be, right? So you have an opportunity this morning to be able to, and each and every day, if it's a sin that you commit against God, then repent of it. If you sin against a brother or sister, go to them and ask for forgiveness. But if it's public in nature, it needs to be repented of publicly. And the sad part about it is that there may be those who have never named Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, maybe they've heard, but they've not believed. But you need to hear, and you need to believe. You need to confess that Jesus is the Lord, that He is the King of Kings, and that by going to heaven, there is no other name in which you can be saved. And then you need to repent of your sins. And then after you repent of your sins, you need to be washed in baptism to wash those sins away. So the song of encouragement this morning is number 341. And so if we can help you in any shape or way this morning, go ahead and come forward as we stand and sing 341, The Way of the Cross Leads Home.